Turn back to the book of Hebrews. And we'll read through the first three verses again. And the title of the message this morning is The Heir. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, in those first three verses, we have all three of the offices of our Lord Jesus Christ set before us. He is the prophet, priest, and king of the people of God. He is the prophet in that he has spoken to us, and what he has spoken to us is all the mind and will and person of God. He is the expression. He himself is the expression of God. He is the brightness of his glory, that which shines out to us by which we are made to know God. It's like the rays of the sun. The sun might as well not be in the heavens without its rays. We couldn't behold the sun without its rays coming into the receptors in our eyes. Nor could we know anything at all about God in his person, his attributes, his glory, and his perfections without the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect expression of all that God is in himself. Amen. There's nothing in the Father that's not perfectly in the Son. I and my Father are one. Amen. So in his prophetic office, he has spoken. Isn't that amazing that God speaks to us? Don't that just amaze you that God would speak to such as we are? He would stoop to speak to maggots, worms of earth, the eternal God. And also his prophetic office is, or his priestly office is brought before us here. He, by himself, without any help from us, purged our sins. Isaiah said, though they be red like crimson, they'd be white as snow. So he took away the guilt, purged our sins. Didn't purge us from our sins. We're still sinners. Every one of you that I'm looking at this morning is a sinner, just like the man you're looking at is a sinner. I'm a sinner. But my sins have no guilt for me before God, because he bore all my guilt on the tree.
Amen.
I'm not guilty. I'm sorry. I'm just not guilty. I know I sin. I know that. I sin in thought, word, and deed. A lot more than I want to. But I'm not guilty, because he bore my guilt in his own body on the cross.
Amen.
And then he's the king. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. And it's easy. He created this universe by a word. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. He said, universe, be. The planets and stars, galaxies, 15,000 light years from us, appeared by the word of his power. And then, not only does he do that, but he sustains it. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He keeps the planets, the stars, the galaxies in their correct orbit in this universe. He is the Lord our God. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the heir. He is the heir of all things. Who being the brightness, let me go back to where I want to get to here. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Father. And he is appointed the heir of all things. Now we know that our Lord Jesus Christ is the eternal Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And as he is the Word made flesh, he speaks to us in his capacity as mediator of the everlasting covenant of grace, or in an official capacity. He is in office towards us as mediator, and in that he is appointed the mediator between God and man, we know that we're not speaking of him in his essential deity alone, but we're speaking of him in his office as man and mediator.
Amen.
We're speaking as he is the Son of Mary. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He's a man. He's a man. He's of humankind, just like each of us. And he is this morning seated in glory. So he is appointed heir, and as God, he can't be appointed anything. He's Lord of all. But as man, his Father and his God can and does and did appoint him heir of all things. The Greek word for heir is kleronimos, and it comports dominion and dignity. And he has dominion over all things, and his dignity is infinite, being God and man in one person. And it is the dignity of his person that upholds all things that he does as God, man, and mediator, because all that he is as God, man, he undertakes in both natures. The inheritor is the possessor of all things. And this has just been on my mind this morning. If you picture yourself on a large estate, and the possessor of that estate is determined to turn that estate over to his heir. If you were a sharecropper or a servant or something and you lived on that estate, imagine the excitement that you would have when the time came close that the heir should come and take possession of his property. Well, we're there. We're there right now. I don't know when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. I know he is coming again. But I know there's a lot of things going on this earth right now that are somewhat unusual. The rapidity with which all of these earthquakes and famines and floods and all of these things that are happening, I believe, it is my personal belief, that those things are the wrath of God which is revealed from heaven, Romans 1:18. Because the wrath of God is revealed. It's not waiting to be revealed. It is revealed upon all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in ungodliness. And certainly, our nation and this world is ripe for judgment. All of the abortions that are performed here in the U.S., 60 million since Roe versus Wade. And the fruit of the womb is the Lord's reward. Do not think that we're without guilt. God hates the shedding of innocent blood. And if there ever was innocent blood, it is the blood of the unborn. And how barbaric are our doctors nowadays who performed abortion in late-term abortions and even abortions after birth. We are a guilty people, though his people, who I hope do not partake in any such thing as that, are still not guilty. Anyway, look at Acts 2:36. Acts 2:36. Now to the Jews. Now, of course, this epistle of the to the Hebrews was given to show the great superiority of Christianity over Judaism. And it is a comparison of the two in which Christianity is shown to be much better. And one of the great stumbling blocks of the Jews to Christianity was the author of Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul here takes each of the things that the Jews held to be held highly in esteem and holds them up in comparison with Christianity and the Lord Jesus Christ, and shows that each of them fades into nothingness as compared with the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says here in Acts chapter 3, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He is both Lord and Christ. Now look at Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. So there is a similarity between the Lord and the heir. Both have a right to dominion over everything. Our Lord Jesus Christ has a right to dominion over everything because Colossians 1:15. On two accounts, he has right, well, more than that, actually, to everything. Colossians 1:15. We'll begin reading in Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? He sits in the highest seat. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. No matter what galaxy you're talking about, what angel you're talking about, whatever you're talking about, it was created by and for our Lord Jesus Christ. So he is the rightful heir of all things. He's also the rightful heir because he's the Son. He's the son of his father, and the heir being the takes what his father has. Now the father doesn't give up anything, but he gives it into the hand of his son, and his son does with it whatsoever he will. Amen. And his will is there's no infringement of the Father's will by the Son, and no infringement of the Son's will by the Father. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Philippians 2, 6. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that he was equal with God, he thought it not doing God any injustice to claim to be his equal. When he said, I and my Father are one, and when he told Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And the Father does all things by the Son. Look at Ephesians 3:9. Ephesians 3:9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Father works all that he works by the Son. And the Son works all that he works from the Father. Look at Hebrews 5:5. Hebrews 5:5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten himself. So he takes no authority unto himself, no power unto himself as man and mediator, except what the Father has given him from the everlasting covenant of grace. Amen. So the Father works all things by the Son works all things from the Father. John 5:19, I think it's John 5:19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he doth, these also he seeth the Father do, For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. And look at 5:22. Here's a good instance of this. Well, let's just read on down from verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he doeth. Now the Son has been in the bosom of the Father from everlasting and has known perfectly the will, counsel, mind, and purpose of the Godhead from everlasting. So the Father hath certainly shown the Son all things that he doth or is that he is going to do. And the Son, being one with the Father, has perfect knowledge of that, and that is his will. I come to do thy will, my God. So, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things whatsoever he doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The Father works in everything by the Son. He is the arm of the Lord. He is the Word, wisdom, and power of God. Now, he is appointed the heir of all things. And so from everlasting. You know, to consider Christ as Christ. You cannot consider him in his deity alone. And you cannot consider him in his humanity alone. But to consider Christ as Christ, you have to consider his deity and his humanity joined together in an indissoluble union. And in order to conceive or think about that, you have to think about the reason for that indissoluble union, which is the salvation of the elect by the Lord Jesus Christ. So you cannot think of Christ as Christ without thinking of him eternally joined, or his people eternally joined to him. Now, that's just true. The office of Christ, all that Christ is, requires him being at union with mankind. The Word was made flesh. He's a man. There was a reason he was made a man, and that was to be the Savior of men. And there's a reason he used to be a Savior for men, and that was because he had been given those men in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. And therefore, that purpose of salvation was established in God in his eternal counsel from everlasting. Now, everything that goes on this earth, everything that goes on this earth is about his bringing his many brethren, his many sons to glory. Everyone that the Father gave him before the foundation of the world, when he arises with his family in heaven, he will say, "Behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Amen. Now that's something to think about. Well, think about that. Well, think about beholding or considering Christ as Christ. Amen. God the Son, taken as God the Son, is not the Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Mary, without union with the Godhead, is not the Christ. And he's not the Christ considered without his people. Amen. God has sworn by His holiness that His seed, that Christ and His seed, shall endure forever.
Yep.
Look at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. I'd like to just read through the statement of the covenant. And just, let's look at Psalm 89:3. I have made a covenant with my chosen, I have sworn unto David, my servant. That's Christ. Thy seed will I establish forever. Whoop, uh-oh. who is that? That's you and that's us. Hold your finger right there and turn to Galatians. Look at Galatians. My outline fell on the floor. Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ, or David, as he's called in the 87th Psalm. Now look at verse 29. And I read from Galatians 3:16. And then in verse 29, he says, and if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the promise is to us who are believers. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne, and the throne, as his throne speaks of his dominion and his people around that throne to all generations. Now look at verse 19. Then spakest thou in vision to thy holy one and saidest, I have laid a help upon one that was mighty. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to check that out a little further, you could go to Isaiah 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold. All the Godhead. And why would that be? Because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Then thou spakest in vision to thy holy one and says, I have laid help on one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. He's a man just like us. I have found David my servant, and with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, and his arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. I'll tell you what, I'm glad to be on the Lord's side. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Now when he says, my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, he's speaking of Christ and his seed. Christ and his people. He's speaking of Christ mystical. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will also make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. Now bear in mind that all the time when it talks about my mercy will I keep for him, and my covenant shall stand fast with him, he's talking about himself and all with whom he is at union from everlasting. His people, his church. That, every promise here is to every believer. His seed also will I make to endure forever. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. That's not a threat you might be lost. That's just a statement. God's going to make his seed to endure forever. And his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, which we do, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, which we do, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripe. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail him. Not any of his. Not any of his children. Not any of his. The members. We are the members of Christ. You are. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now we are the members of Christ. Now we are the body of Christ and members in particular. If you break his law, your sin is purged. There's no guilt in it that can be charged to you, because it's already been charged to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not guilty. God said, I just will not recognize that any of my children are guilty of any wrong whatsoever. They're all perfect in my view. And they're perfect in my Son, who is the heir of all things. Isn't that good news? That's good news for sinners. Now look at this. My covenant will I not break. Who said that? God said that. What does that mean to us? That means we're secure in this everlasting covenant of grace. That means we have assurance before God that it is well with our soul. Nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. Oh my. The weakest of his children. The most common of his members have all the strength of all the promises of this covenant to support them. They're as good as home in glory right now. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in the heavens. Considering Christ as Christ. He is the God-man joined to his people. And he is God-man in order to be joined with his people, in order to put away death for them. Now there's going to be a separation of the soul and body. But there's not going to be any death for us. Just the shadow of it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is the second death. And it does not pertain to the children of God. It just got no power over them. Because they're in Christ Jesus. Anyway, Christ Jesus is the is the center and circumference. It has been the eternal counsels of God to bring his many sons to glory in the Lord Jesus Christ from everlasting. And from everlasting he has purposed that. Look at 1 Peter 1:19-20. Well, let's look at 1 Peter chapter verse 11 first. searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ. He despised and rejected of men. He was hanged up naked on a tree. In unspeakable shame, bearing my guilt. When it testified beforehand of the suffering of Christ and of the glory that should follow. Now look down at verses 19 and 20. Well, let's start reading verse 18. For as much then as you know you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He is at the center. He is the center and circumference of everything that God's doing in this world and in this universe. He is the heir, and the universe and everything in it is His inheritance. And it is in His hand and in His power to do with it whatsoever He will. And He will do whatsoever is determined in the everlasting covenant of grace.
Amen.
And it's all by what He purchased by His blood, because that everlasting covenant of grace is ratified, sealed, and settled forever by His precious blood.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Hebrews 13:20. He was ordained before the foundation of the world, but now is manifest for us. In Hebrews 13:20. He says, now the God of peace, and He's made a God of peace and not a God of judgment toward His children by the blood of Christ. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. His resurrection is through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And our resurrection is through the blood of the everlasting covenant. As sure as He rose from the grave, all His members will rise from the grave. O death, He said, I'll be thy plagues. O grave, I'll be your destruction. Hosea 13:14. Now He was. Look at Matthew 8:20. This may not be where I'm wanting to go. Matthew 8:20. Yeah. Now this world hated. Still hates, despised, still despises. Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Mary, the Son of God. And the enmity that was between He and this world in that day still is there. And they crucified Him and hung Him up naked on a tree. And He said here in Matthew 8:20, and Jesus saith unto him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay His head. He was in this world in abject and unspeakable poverty in the material things, though He was the Lord of glory. Now look at Philippians 2, 7. Philippians 2:7. And verse 6. 2:6, I'm sorry. Who being in the form of God, that means who was God, the Lord Jesus Christ, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't think he was God doing God any disservice by claiming equality with God. But, though he were God, yet he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made like unto men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The most shameful, painful, torturous death that can be imagined. He voluntarily took our humanity in order to die. But that ain't all. Wherefore, God, because of his success in his sacrificial death, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every tongue should, every knee should bow, and of things in heaven and of things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Look at verse 8.
53.
Isaiah 53, verse 8. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of who? My people. Was he stricken? Look at verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. He doesn't bear anybody's iniquities who he doesn't justify and whom he doesn't bring to final glory. He bears only the iniquity of the elect. Now look down at verse 12. Therefore, because he was numbered with the transgressors, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Amen. Done. Now, because of his mediatorial success, or his official success, or his success in offering one offering to perfect the children of God, God hath given all power in heaven and earth in the hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple of scriptures on that. Matthew 28:18. He says, Jesus came and spake unto them after his resurrection now, saying, and because of what he had accomplished in his death, because of that, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now look at John 13. And this was before his resurrection. John 13:3, I think it is. Yeah. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things in his hands. He'd already practically given everything into the hands of Jesus. Well, he had given everything in the hands of Jesus because he knew his crucifixion was a certainty. Now, he was not crucified for himself, Daniel 9:26, but for us. It was our guilt that was upon him. It was our debt that he paid. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We're not guilty. Our sins are purged. As the inheritor or the heir, this entire universe is the property and belongs to Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen.
And the angels are his angels. Look at Matthew 13:41. Matthew 13:41. You know they have to be his because everything's given to him. He inherited everything. Matthew 13:41. The Son shall send forth what? His angels. Now look at 1 Corinthians 3. Now you know that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How does he do that? Well, he teaches us the gospel. He gives us a new heart, which is a heart of faith. He causes us to believe the gospel. Therefore, we know that we have received the Holy Spirit. That's simple, isn't it? He teaches us, we're taught, and it is the Holy Spirit that teaches that. So we know we've received him. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit has to be where his fruit is. And faith is fruit. And he bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Everything that's Christ's is mine. I'm joint heir. I inherited. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. 1 Corinthians 3:21. He says, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. I received it as an inheritance. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. And it's not by your decision. Not by your will. It's by the will of God.